Witnessing in other languages. In the past 20 years or more, there has been a steady increase in the number of immigrants living in Norway. Congregations have therefore made a concerted effort to witness to them in their own language or in a language they understand. The first foreign language congregation in Norway, established in 1986, was called the Oslo Latin Congregation because it hosted both Spanish and Portuguese-speaking people, mostly from Latin America. About the same time, some publishers started organized witnessing to English-speaking people in the Oslo area. The publishers met many interested ones, especially from Africa and Asia. Some they found while doing street work. Others they met at refugee reception centers. They also made good use of telephone directories to find people with foreign names who might speak English. Many Bible studies were started, and in 1990, the Oslo English Congregation was formed. Since then, many Norwegian publishers have endeavored to learn foreign languages. Together with publishers of foreign origin, they have helped to establish groups or congregations for people who speak Arabic, Chinese, English, Persian, Polish, Punjabi, Russian, Serbo-Croatian, Spanish, Tagalog, Tamil, and Tigrinya. The sign language field has also experienced fine growth. There are a few thousand deaf people who use Norwegian Sign Language, and the organization is working hard to help them. In the 1970s, brothers started interpreting some meetings, assemblies, and conventions into sign language, and since then, several publishers have learned to sign. Sign language groups have been established in some congregations, and in 2008, the first sign language congregation was established in Oslo. Nationwide, there are about 25 deaf publishers who make good use of the publications that have been translated into Norwegian Sign Language and are available on DVD. Hospital Liaison Committees. Because Jehovah's Witnesses do not accept blood transfusions, it has sometimes been difficult for witness patients to receive the medical treatment that they need and are willing to accept. In order to assist witnesses in such situations and provide information about alternative treatments, the organization established Hospital Liaison Committees, or HLC, in Norway in 1990. From 1990 to 2010, the brothers on the Oslo HLC held about 70 meetings with medical staff at hospitals in their area and provided assistance in more than 500 individual cases. Their diligent efforts have helped them contact many cooperative doctors, and the medical information the HLCs have provided has moved more doctors to use alternatives to blood transfusions. The helpful support provided by patient visitation groups is also very much appreciated by patients and their families. Illustrating the value of the HLC arrangement is the experience of Helen, a young pioneer sister. In 2007, she became seriously ill and was sent to a local hospital. Her blood count was dropping rapidly, and the medical personnel put pressure on her to accept a blood transfusion, saying that a transfusion was the only thing that could save her life. With the help of a member of the HLC, she was transferred to a hospital that was larger and better equipped. When Helen and her mother arrived, a brother from the HLC was there to meet them, provide reassurance, and help them get the needed care. The hospital agreed to give Helen a treatment that stimulates the production of red blood cells. Within a few days, her blood count improved, and soon she was out of danger. Now Helen is in good health again, and she appreciates the fact that the hospital respected her deeply held convictions. Helen and her mother say, "Seeing how Jehovah's organization functions and how the brothers and sisters supported us and prayed for us is something that we will always be grateful for and will never forget." Counteracting a malicious media attack. Especially between 1989 and 1992, Jehovah's Witnesses in Norway were objects of a smear campaign and much negative publicity in newspapers and magazines, as well as on radio and TV. One of the main reasons for the opposition was our adherence to what the Bible says about the treatment of disfellowshipped ones. Because of the negative publicity, witnesses endured unpleasant encounters in the ministry, at work, at school, and also with family members. Although Jesus' followers are not surprised when they are reproached, the situation was not easy to cope with. "This was a difficult period," explains one brother, "but it had benefits too. It made me review the scriptural basis for my beliefs. It was faith-strengthening to reflect on the good spiritual food we receive from the faithful and discreet slave. As a result, I think that we have been fortified to face tests of faith." "It was inspiring to see the courage of the brothers and sisters in that period," recalls a circuit overseer. "We realized that the best response we could give was to devote ourselves even more to the field ministry, including street witnessing. Happily, many witnesses responded in a positive way." Note how, in contrast with the unscriptural thinking promoted by the media, one formerly disfellowshipped person felt about the Bible's direction on disfellowshipping. "When I was disfellowshipped at 20 years of age," says Fred, "I started to think seriously about my life. The situation was not pleasant, but the disfellowshipping action had a positive effect. It was as if Jehovah were saying to me, 'Now you must pull yourself together, son. Unless you mend your ways, you will fare badly.' It was a necessary lesson that made me abandon my sinful course. Instead of being occupied with excitement and fun, I began to take the truth seriously. In addition, some of my friends developed a more wholesome attitude. Happily, Fred repented, changed his ways, and was reinstated. He now serves as an elder." Ready to face Jehovah's Day. In spite of widespread materialism and increasing apathy in the territory, Jehovah's servants have continued giving priority to faith-strengthening spiritual activities, such as daily Bible reading and attendance at congregation meetings. A growing number of publishers have increased their share in the ministry by enrolling as regular pioneers. One brother expressed the sentiments of many when he said, "If I am not ready to face Jehovah's Day tomorrow, I will not be ready the day it does come. We just have to keep moving ahead. It will come one day." It is no doubt this sort of attitude that has contributed to the steady growth apparent since 2001. A spiritual provision that has had a stimulating effect on the congregations and has given many brothers fine theocratic education is the Ministerial Training School, now called the Bible School for Single Brothers. "The opportunity to study the Bible so intensely for 8 weeks," reflects one student, "let me experience the truth in a way that I had never experienced it before. Everything in the Bible became much more vivid and real to me." In the past 2 decades here, more than 60 graduates have helped strengthen congregations and stir them to increased activity. Raised as Jehovah's Witnesses. Many who have been baptized as Jehovah's Witnesses over the years learned Bible truths from their parents. Some Norwegian publishers are third, fourth, or fifth generation witnesses. "I have often reflected on how fortunate I was to be born into a family that gave priority to serving Jehovah," says Ivan Gossedin, a great-grandson of Ingebret Andersen, the first Bible student in Skien. "Personal study, regular Bible reading, and good friends who shared my goals helped me to take a stand for the truth." Ivan's sons, Andre and Richard, also cherish their spiritual heritage as one of their most precious possessions. "I am very grateful for how my life started out," says pioneer Bente Bø, a granddaughter of Magnus Randall, who served on the pioneer boat Rut. "Starting life this way spared me many problems, and I want to use my life for the benefit of others." Some who had a spiritually weak period in their youth have subsequently become devoted witnesses of Jehovah as adults. Thomas and Serena Foeskanger from Bergen, for example, were both raised by Christian parents, but their spiritual progress was slow. What helped them to change the way they viewed worshiping Jehovah? In 2002, a young brother who had gone through the ministerial training school came to our congregation, relates Thomas. He helped me to get involved in the ministry and to pursue spiritual goals. When Thomas was 25, he married Serena. And in 2007, they moved to Båtsfjord, Finnmark, to help a pioneer couple take care of the spiritual interest there. Soon, Thomas and Serena also became pioneers. In 2009, they spent 3 months in unassigned territory in the fishing village of Kjellefjord, where they and some publishers who accompanied them started more than 30 Bible studies. Thomas and Serena then moved closer to Kjellefjord to help cultivate the interest. Now they regularly drive about 3.5 hours each way to help interested ones. Their lives are full, but Serena says, "My life is now uncomplicated and happy. We have few things, but also few problems." The following is from pages 162 and 163 of the printed edition. Timeline, Norway. 1892, Knut Pedersen Hammer begins preaching in Norway. 1900, first congregation is formed. 1904, office is opened in Christiania, Oslo. 1905, first assembly is held in Christiania. 1909 and 1911, C.T. Russell visits Norway. 1914, first traveling overseer is appointed. 1914 to 1915, photo drama of creation draws large crowds. 1920 to 1925, millions now living will never die is given countrywide. 1925, The Golden Age, or Awake, is published in Norwegian. 1928 to 1940, boats used to preach in coastal communities. 1940 to 1945, witnessing continues despite wartime opposition. 1945, The Watchtower is published in Norwegian. 1948, first Gilead-trained missionaries arrive. 1950, Supreme Court upholds right to preach with literature. 1965, International Convention is held in Oslo. 1984, new branch is dedicated. 1990, hospital liaison committees are appointed. 1994, assembly hall is dedicated in Oslo. 1996, complete New World Translation is released in Norwegian. 2011, New Peaks and regular and auxiliary pioneers, publishers, and memorial attenders. Returning to the account. Looking forward with faith in Jehovah. Life has changed considerably since the Bible student Knut P. Hammer and others began to preach in Norway. At first, Jehovah's servants stood out because they taught Bible truth in a religious society that was dominated by churches wielding great influence and teaching false doctrines. Over the decades, countless sincere people were delighted to learn about the Bible and readily took a stand for true worship. Now, the religious climate in Norway has changed. Fewer people believe in God, and it is considered presumptuous to claim that there is only one true religion. It takes time and effort for interested ones to acquire Bible knowledge and build up their faith in God and the Bible. It often takes longer to learn how to live by Bible standards. Nevertheless, Jehovah continues to draw sincere individuals, whether they live in isolated fishing villages or in modern multi-story apartment buildings in crowded cities. As is the case all around the world, Jehovah's Witnesses in Norway treasure their privilege of fearlessly rendering sacred service to the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. Luke 1:74. As they scour this vast territory for righteously disposed people, They get glimpses of the awe-inspiring, paradisaic beauty and serenity that the Creator has purposed for the entire Earth. Along with their loyal brothers and sisters earthwide, Jehovah's worshipers in Norway eagerly anticipate the day when God's kingdom will carry out the divine will in every corner of our exquisite planet.